Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Today our host, though, is Dr. Tim Hayes, and we welcome him to the show. Today is Friday, February the 20th, 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. We would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Dr. Tim.
Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you, and I hope you and Michael are having a wonderful afternoon. And we're here today to talk about what we're almost always talking about on Mind Shifter Radio, the ancient Aramaic tool, science, technology, gift of forgiveness. And forgiveness as a tool that's quite different from what most of us in the Western world have grown up to understand forgiveness to be. Forgiveness that understands nothing outside of me can cause anything to be felt or experienced inside of me. That whatever I'm feeling, whatever I'm experiencing, whatever I'm choosing to focus my energy on and my awareness on, literally creates my experience from the inside out. And once I do that, if I do that consistently, and I do that with practice, and I choose wisely, I start to feel more loving inside myself, and I start to see a more loving world projected in my mind. And then I start to experience the world outside of me through that filter in a more loving way. And the only way I can get to be more loving is to start to remove whatever is in me that doesn't belong, that isn't loving. And the way I remove what's inside me that doesn't belong, that isn't loving, is I use the tool of forgiveness. In the ancient Aramaic, the tool of forgiveness was a tool for going inside my mind, inside my body's energy system, and literally, systematically removing everything that's less than love. And that's the only work there is. My job is not to create love. My job is not to create joy. My job is not to create loving feelings inside of me. Love as an energy is what I'm made of. And my job, my only responsibility, is to step into a new awareness once I've been introduced to the concept that I'm creating my own experience. Then my job becomes to step into a new awareness and to develop a vigilance for maintaining that awareness and choosing to focus that awareness on my true nature. The love is already there. It's the stuff I'm made of. It's the energy of creation trying to express through me. The love is there in everything I look at. It's there to be seen if I have the eyes to see it. You know, the ancient scriptures talk about these teachings are for those who have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. Well, everyone has eyes, but if the eyes have been trained to look for blame, pain, shame, bitterness, condemnation, guilt, resentment, that's what they're going to see. And if your eyes are trained to look for joy, love, expansion, compassion, allowance, surrender, that's what your eyes will see. And in the ancient Aramaic, there was an understanding about the need to cancel a desire to have something which, once I acquire that something, will make me feel better. The ancient Aramaic culture and the language understood how the mind-body energy system works and understood that you're whole and complete as you stand here or you sit wherever you are listening to this, these vibrations coming on the internet show right now. There is nothing anyone could add to you of any value, and there is nothing of any value that can be taken from you. This is as strong a fact of existence as is gravity on this planet. And so there is nothing you need to do to become more loving. There is nothing you need to do to become of more value or to be more worthy and worthwhile. You have value, and you are as worthy and worthwhile as the people you respect most simply because the Creator put the breath of life in you. And every thought you have, every feeling you have that's contrary to that is something that can be removed. It should be understood to be false because it leaves you feeling constricted, feeling angry, feeling scared, feeling upset, feeling confused. That's your alarm system telling you you're off the mark. You're not in that energy of joy and creation. You're not aligned with the source energy trying to express through you. You're not tuned into your true nature as love. And when those energies come up in you, the tool of forgiveness is how you can remove them. And the tool of forgiveness in the ancient Aramaic, they weren't blessed with having Dr. Michael Rice. They weren't blessed with computers. They weren't blessed with the easy access we have. So we are blessed in a way to be aware of this at a time when, if you have internet access, you can go to the internet and go to www.whyagain.org. Once you're there, you can click on the link that says Start Here or click on the link with the red and white bullseye, and it will take you to a page where, for free, and it's absolutely free, you don't even have to tell us who you are. You don't have to put in an email address. You just click on the link, and it takes you to a page where you can download Chapter 24 of Dr. Rice's book, the latest version of the 7-step worksheet process, and 10 or 12 different audio files of shows like this where real people have called in with problems and been introduced to and stepped through the forgiveness process and systematically dismantled what's less than love from within their system. And you can see how the process works. You can download the worksheet and make as many copies as your heart desires. And you can begin to learn and, through practice, become a master at the art of forgiveness. And with practice, you can learn that you can, in any moment, choose to step into that mindset of forgiveness, what Way of Mastery would call the five keys to the kingdom: desire, intention, allowance, surrender, and humility. And you can step into that energy of forgiveness, which in itself is a delightful space to focus your awareness. It's a delightful thing to experience. And this process is available, so you can download those things off the internet, and then you can call the internet show, 646-200-4169. Press 1 and your hand will go up. And you can ask questions to get support. How does this work? I don't understand the process. It sounds crazy. Or, on the other end, I did it, I had a fabulous experience, and I wanted to share. And Michael, Jeannie, Rex when he calls in, Michelle, all of us have tried to explain that this is a process for life. This is, it's more important. It's not just as important. It's more important than the physical hygiene we do. Most of us listening to this internet show brush our teeth several times a day, take a shower every day or every other day, depending upon their habits. They know to wash their fruits and vegetables before they eat them. They're very careful about the physical end of life. If they get a cut or a scratch, they know to clean it up, put a salve on it, put a Band-Aid on it. The physical hygiene is so emphasized in this world, and the mental and emotional hygiene is so neglected. And the tools that are available on whyagain.org are tools that allow me to go into my life, into my mind, into my energy system on a daily basis and clean up what doesn't belong there. And I had a situation happen just earlier this week, coasting along, feeling good. All of a sudden, I saw an email from someone and it resonated some upset in me. And it was someone I was intending to do a favor for. And I put some energy into it, and I did what I thought was, you know, going above and beyond the call of duty. And they had a criticism about this favor I had done for them. And it resonated upset. And a day or two later, I still was thinking about it, so I said, okay, I'm going to do a worksheet on that. And I'm going to go into my own mind-body energy system and figure out, what am I still holding on to negative thoughts about this interaction for? Why do I keep going back to that and letting it resonate upset in me? Well, and the answer to that is because it's not me letting it resonate upset in me. If the upset's in me and the outside events are there of the same frequency, it's going to stir that up because God is good and the universe wants me to be healthy and healed. And if I'm carrying around resentment and upset, it's going to get triggered. And my job then is to pick up the tool just like I would pick up a toothbrush, just like I would pick up some soap and get in the shower and clean out that part of my mind that's holding the resentment, that's holding the hurt. And I did the worksheet process and I canceled my goal for this other person to appreciate me or whatever the goal was. And I breathed and I just kept gently repeating with loving thoughts in my mind, I canceled the goal for anything to be different in the situation. And I kind of went blank. I didn't really get much in the way of a deep insight. And so I came out and I wrote on the worksheet in the space where it says, now how do you feel, Tim? And I wrote, I'm kind of feeling blank. And then it said, and what did you see? And as I went to write, I didn't see anything. What came out was I saw a bunch of thoughts about how I was being raised as a Catholic, and I was told repeatedly that unless I was perfect, I was not lovable. And I became aware that I was feeling sad. And I recognized in that moment, I have another worksheet to do. And I'll do another worksheet, and I'll clean up some more of that energy. And in the moment when I realized that there was this connection to how I had been trained, you know, my entire life as a child in a very loving family and a very relatively loving community, but I had been trained that every time I do something wrong, I have become a sinner. I have become damaged goods. I am now going to hell. I need to go through a ritual to make myself worthy again and again and again. And that resonated in me. And as soon as I realized that, my irritation at the target person who sent me the email, I couldn't find it anywhere. Now that I was in touch with my sadness that gets resonated when I hold the conclusion that I'm not lovable, now I'm directly in touch with that. Now I no longer need the defense mechanism of anger. And as I breathed, I realized, wow, I can't even, in this moment when I think about it, get in touch with my anger, my irritation, my resentment at this person. because it isn't there. And I saw in that moment quite clearly the only reason the irritation was there was because I was trying to hide from myself my awareness of my sadness and my awareness that got resonated, my old belief that I'm not perfect and therefore I'm not lovable. So that's what this process is like. That's what these tools are for. And in the moment where that awareness happens and I reconnect to my energy as love, my true nature, I feel better. I have more energy. I have more joy. I breathe more easily. And when I do a worksheet and it gets more stuck or I feel more upset and I don't feel better, I know I've tapped into something that needs more mental emotional hygiene. It needs more application of the tools of catching myself in the negative thought, shifting the focus of my awareness to my true nature, deep breaths that allow the energy system to move that emotional energy, repeated application of the tool of forgiveness, perhaps the addition of a mind-body energy technique like the faster EFT tapping or the EFT tapping, or a still point breath session where I can just surrender and allow the forces within me, the forces that the Creator have put in me, to help resolve the decades in my life of thinking that's off the mark and the generations on both sides of my family line of thinking that's outside the mark, and off the bullseye. Allow that energy to be moved in a far more powerful way than my conscious logical mind could ever hope to do it, and that's what we're here to support people in doing. Every one of the tools I mentioned, except maybe the tapping, but the still point breath works available through Michael and Jeannie's workshops when they travel, a number of different worksheets about three earliest memories of conflict, the codependence to interdependence worksheet, mind goal management, learning to identify and cancel my goals. These tools are available free on the website. We'd be happy to discuss any of them with you. 646-200-4169. If you dial in and put your hand up, we'll see there's a question or a comment. And I'll take a breath and say hello to area code 813. 813, you're in the air. How can we help you?
Yeah, I love your explanation today.
Can I have your name, please, or a name to use?
My name is Janet.
I'm sorry. Okay, we have a bit of a rough connection. Could you say that again a little louder, please?
That could be better. I was on speakerphone. Can you hear me now?
That's better. And what's your name again?
My name is Jeanette Steins, and I started a support group with Shirley Rowell a little while ago. And the reason I'm calling is I have some confusion about correlating the worksheet to the description, the explanation in Chapter 24, because that appears to have 11 steps, and then we're told to use the new seven-step one, or that's what I'm understanding. Could you help clear me up?
Michael is in the process of rewriting Chapter 24 so that it fits more with the seven-step worksheet. The 11-step worksheet is still a favorite for a lot of people in our group. What happens is it's a wonderful worksheet. And what happens is if people use that worksheet and get used to it, they can continue to use it. Michael and Jeannie, as they traveled, they discovered that sometimes when they did their 4-hour or 2.5, 3-hour workshop on Sundays introducing the worksheet process, and then they would come back a week or two or a month later, and most of the audience would not remember much of the process or get the gist of it. So Michael decided to try and condense it. And the original 7-step worksheet had many fewer words on it. So he was trying to simplify the process, and he was trying to make it, the core of it is always the same.
Mm-hmm.
the core can be, you know, set up into three or five points, however you want to talk it. I mean, the full impact, I think, can be gotten with five steps. When I recognize that I'm not feeling what I like, I don't like what I'm feeling, I take a breath and I ask myself, what emotion am I feeling? And I put an emotion word on it. Then I identify the thought that I'm using to create that emotion. Every time I do that, I'm going to have in that thought, it will also contain a goal. So the third step is I cancel the goal and the thought that goes with it that's creating the upset emotion. The fourth step is I ask for some higher power, something outside my conscious logical mind, to help me see the hidden part of my mind that's actually creating my upset. And the fifth part is I set a loving goal, or I think the most loving thoughts I can for myself and the other person involved. So every worksheet Michael has put out there over the years, there have been hundreds of versions as it's been improved, tweaked, shortened, lengthened, but that's the core of every worksheet. So if it makes more sense to you as you're trying to do this support group, if people are getting confused by reading chapter 24 of his book, you can go to the website and look up the 11-step worksheet that chapter is based on, and you can use that to get people started. Now, the seventh step that's available today includes some language and some concepts that Michael has found are very helpful in getting people to understand how the mind is working, how the conscious logical mind is creating traps and beliefs, and how the process of the mind working against us has been understood not just by great spiritual teachers, but by great physicists like David Bohm. And David Bohm talks about the process of sustained incoherence. And David Bohm, you can look up on YouTube, and you can see where David Bohm, this physicist, interviewed Jay Krishnamurti. And so here's this tremendous physicist dealing with this Indian spiritual teacher, because he recognized from Jay Krishnamurti's writings that Jay Krishnamurti understood exactly what David Bohm was talking about with sustained incoherence. Every problem we have of a mental and emotional nature is caused by giving thought more credit, by treating thought as though it is the same level of reality as the hunk of energy that I call a chair or the body. And so I create a problem with my thought, and then I decide I want to fix the problem. And so I go to my tool chest and I find a bunch of thoughts in there, a bunch of beliefs in there. So I try to apply these thoughts and beliefs to the problem that, by the way, was created with my thoughts and beliefs. And I will never find an answer by using the very same level of mind and the very same system of thought that created the problem. So in the seven-step worksheet as it exists, Michael has had recent downloads of information, insights, improvements to the worksheet process, and he's added them as he's gone along. So he finds that when he does the presentation and he's talking to a lot of people sometimes who've never been exposed to the work, that seven-step worksheet process is a good way to get them to understand the fundamentals. And I would recommend that if you're doing a support group and they're having trouble integrating from the chapter 24 of his book to the seven-step worksheet process, that you simply print out the 11-step and have them both there together, and you'll see where the key parts of the process are there. The key part of the process of forgiveness is to understand, when I'm holding a goal for something and I'm feeling less than loving, in that moment, the goal I'm holding is either creating a painful emotion within me or resonating the painful emotion in me, or I'm using it to distract myself from the true source of the pain that's within me. And when I hold a goal in my mind, literally creates the construct of reality. It the goal forces me to arrange the impressions that I'm receiving from outside of me and the memories and images that are stimulated inside of me. The goal literally drives the creation of my reality in the moment. And if I'm holding a goal that's driving the creation of a reality that resonates pain or fear or sadness or resentment or hurt, it's absolutely imperative, if I'm going to change, for me to cancel that goal. Because the understanding is the goal literally drives my perception of reality in each moment. And that's the essence that you'll find in every worksheet. Identify the goal, then cancel the goal, then ask for help from something outside my conscious logical mind, and breathe and hold a space of love and watch things shift. Is that helpful at all?
Absolutely. And I do have the two worksheets, you know, side by side right now. And I have done some with the worksheets. And so this is even much more clarification. My background is also in science of mind. The founder is Ernest Holmes, and although he did not create a worksheet like this, it's, you know, the same philosophy. So I do understand it better, and I can use it better, and I can share it better, and call in again when I have more questions.
Well, thanks for the question and for calling in. We greatly appreciate when people call in and put their hand up, because it is those questions, no matter how fundamental they might seem, that enrich our understanding at every level. So thank you very much, Jeanette, and best of luck with the support group, and please let us know if we can support you more in the future.
Okie doke. All righty. Thank you.
Can I add in there, too, one of the other things that you can do is to go to the website and click on the MP3s, and there are like 14 MP3s of where we've walked people through doing the current 7-step worksheet. And so you could follow along with it, and that might help your group as well.
Yeah, I just figured out how to download it today. you know, so I can stop and start it or what needs to be done. So thank you, Jeannie. Yes, that's great. And actually, if I could, you know, have a written transcription of what Dr. Tim has shared today, that would be also very useful. I don't know if there's
all of those are archived, so as soon as the show's over with, you'll be able to download it.
Right. Okay, and I'll take my own notes. Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call. Hi, Jeannie.
Hey, how are you doing?
I didn't see you on the board when I clicked Jeanette on. Were you on earlier?
I got kicked off. We just now walked into the, it's a healthy clinic. It's where you can get like vitamin drips and things like that. And we're going to be to kick this thing out of the way. But we just walked in here and it's shifted from being on my phone internet to being on their office internet, so it kicked me off.
All right, well.
I see that you have a hand up now, and I think it's Michelle. And she had a conference, I believe. It's 248, is that Michelle?
Hi there, Jeannie. Hello, Dr. Tim.
Hi, Michelle.
I'm not sure if my voice is coming okay. I've got a little speaker issue with my telephone.
So far, so good.
Okay, great. So I had called in yesterday because their conversation that Michael was having was related to a conversation that I was having with a client the evening before. And he works in a job where he can't get to the radio program because I asked him to call in because he really kind of was at a loss to maybe explain to him what was going on. But I had some theories, but I just wanted to process it with you guys. So a lot of what Michael says in some of his training videos, and yesterday he was reiterating the fact that when you're doing true forgiveness work and all the healing, that you sometimes experience difficulties, and it's not Dr. Feelgood. And so this gentleman, he's a 60-year-old father and state employee, and he met Dr. Rice. My encouragement came to some seminars when they were here for a week in Michigan, in Lansing area, and you know, he was intrigued. I had provided him some of the articles from Laws of Living. He's an engineer and so real intellectual, and so that made sense. And now he's been listening to some tapes, and he really embraced the breathing. He breathes every night, you know, for like an hour session, and he walks for an hour, and he listens to archive radio shows or the CD lectures, and so it's pretty amazing. Actually, when I was waiting for an opportunity to talk to Michael yesterday, I realized when you guys had been talking about the tithing that he actually said, you know, Michelle, I'm putting in 2.5 hours a day with this healing work between building brain cells and doing breathing sessions every night before he goes to bed. And his question was, how come it's so easy? How come I'm feeling so good, and how come I'm making all these improvements? He's noticed every winter he uses like a light box so that he can get some UV because he goes into a funky depression. And this year he's noticed that he hasn't needed it, that he's maintained emotional stability throughout the season, and some procrastination issues that he had are not apparent. And just overall, losing weight, increasing vitality, feeling good, keeping up with his exercise program, which was really elusive to him before. And, you know, he trusts it. He doesn't know how it's working. He's very curious scientifically what all is happening, but he's persistent. And he just was like, how come, you know, I'm not breaking down physically, mentally, emotionally? How come I'm not having any healing crisis? He's worried he's not doing it right. So, wondered kind of what you thought about that.
Okay, well, the first thing that comes to my mind is congratulations to him for doing the work and for seeing the benefits. And he's not doing anything wrong. And when he has a level, a deeper level that needs to come up, it will. When his mental and emotional and physical vitality is high enough and he holds the willingness, it will come up. And, you know, I have no way of knowing what his history is. I have no way of knowing what's stored in his system energetically, physically, emotionally, so I don't know how deep the process might be for him. I do know that there are many times when long stretches of time where Michael and Jeannie are very healthy and have high energy. There are long periods of time where people that know me say, my gosh, you're just so healthy and you don't take any medications. How is that working? And, you know, you work so many long hours and you do so many things and you don't seem frustrated and sad and scared and upset and worn out. How does that happen? And that's how it's supposed to be. That's our level of functioning that's what our level of functioning is supposed to be. And then if we do that and raise our vitality enough and we hold the willingness, at the time when it seems right to the higher level of intelligence within us, we will experience what we need to move through. And not everybody has the same level of healing crisis. I have known people who have had lives that I would say are just horrific, and within a year or two of doing work, they leapfrog in huge jumps and movements to health, to productivity, to a better self-esteem, to higher energy, to better physical health. And it's not uncommon for me to have questions like the ones you're asking. And they say, when's the other shoe going to drop? When is all the stuff going to fall down for me? When is all of this evil stuff going to rise up in me again? And my answer is maybe never, maybe next week, maybe tomorrow. That's not my purpose. My purpose, my focus, my job in this process is not to navigate through it. My job in this process is to hold the willingness to keep doing what seems loving, what seems right, what seems to be the use of the tools to keep my body and my mind and my spiritual energy system healthy, and be willing to do that even when pain comes up, or upper respiratory problems, or headache, or back pain. That's the point that I would make here, is to have him just enjoy the fruits of his labors and use that as a motivation to keep doing it and to build his momentum in the hope that if and when a healing crisis comes up, he will have the willingness to keep using the tools rather than go back to an allopathic medical process or say, oh my gosh, now I have all of this depression hitting me, or now I've got my back went out and I was breathing and I was doing worksheets and I was walking. Why did my back go out? This stuff doesn't work. And then throw the tools out. That would be my recommendation, is to build this momentum, enjoy the good feelings, and make mental, if not paper and pencil, notes about how much better it feels, how much progress he's made, so that he's prepared to ride that momentum through any healing crisis that might come in the future. That would be my offering, Michelle.
Excellent. I took a lot of notes, and I'm going to let him know the timestamp so that he can listen to this over the weekend in archives. So thank you. You know, one thing I heard yesterday that Michael said, that, you know, I don't know if it's going to take you 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, kind of thing, where, you know, when you're going to have that breakthrough and as far as getting to the next deeper level. So I think your advice is sage. And I guess I was thinking, because this guy, you know, his mother died when he was 3 years old, and then the evil stepmother came in and really rode him hard, and it was a difficult childhood. And so I think he kept himself safe by being intellectual, and we've talked about that. And so part of me is thinking that the emotional layers have been repressed for so many decades that although his body is releasing it, maybe, you know, it's still holding back on at some level, just to play it safe. And I think there's a lot of body wisdom. It lets go what it needs to. And I just encourage him, because he, you know, is worried about doing it wrong, because he just hears about all the healing crisis and when is it going to be difficult. And he's like, it's amazing. It's easy, and I love it. And I think I told him, I think the fact that you're breathing every day for almost an hour, that you're, because he, you know, he understands still point, and he talks about it all the time. And I think, you know, you're letting stuff go without having to necessarily feel it. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to know. And just enjoy, like you said, enjoy the fruit. So that's helpful for him
to
hear it from.
And the other thing that comes up as I'm listening to you, Michelle, is to tell him that you hear that he might benefit from doing some worksheets or a mind shifter around feeling that he has to do it right and being concerned that he's not doing it right, that he's not doing it perfectly, that if he's not having a healing crisis, he must be doing something wrong. So he's setting the goal to be perfect. He's setting the goal to do it all right, and he might want to do some worksheets and release around that.
Agree. You know, I was thinking here as I'm calling in, you know, as a therapist, and we've got clients, right, and most people say, well, I've got this friend, and then they tell their own story. So I'm like, well, I could just, you know, I've got this client that tell my story. But
So you also have a client who feels like they are not doing it right? You also have a client with issues of trying to be perfect?
That's what I was just noticing, exactly. It's funny.
Okay.
I also want to just make a quick comment that, well, thank you for that. I'm looking forward to sharing the news with him. And also to let you know, I'm in the airport right now in Lansing because when I was listening to your intro, and as far as, you know, using a combination of tools, I'm headed to Oklahoma for a weekend seminar with Robert Smith and hook up with Angela and enjoy the show. See firsthand how to really utilize that tool to its max. I'm personally receiving results, and I hear everyone else's testimonies, and so I want to really develop myself and skills in that area. So I'm excited about that.
Well, congratulations. I look forward to hearing your feedback on that system. And I have not been through that training myself, but from every video that I've watched of Robert and the way he talks about it, it's thoroughly consistent with what I know to be effective in therapy as the core for changing what is less than love within ourselves. And I look forward to your feedback once you've experienced it.
Yeah, it's going to be good. What does he say? Tap until it's gone. Or tap until you pass out. So, that's the good news for this weekend. And I appreciate you taking my call. And it's nice to hear you hosting. And we'll, check in next week. I'll check in and let you guys know.
All right. We'll look forward to it. Safe travels.
Okay.
Have fun.
Thank you. Bye, Jeannie. Have a good weekend.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
The number is 646-200-4169, and we'd love to hear your comments, your questions. We've talked about a lot of things already, and we've talked about various worksheets. We've talked a little bit about support groups. And Jeanette runs a support group. That was lovely. I had my support group last night, and this is something we should say. We talk a lot when we have 15 or 18 people show up for a support group, or 12, and it's good energy. And well, last night I had my Thursday support group, and I was the only one there. And so I watched an hour of a video, Dr. Michael Rice, part of the four-hour series, and then I did a worksheet. And then I stayed late and listened in on a teleconference call about coaches that do a similar type of work. So I was here. I had the doors open. People could come in all the way up until 9:30, and it was just me. And it was a wonderful experience because I got exposed to the material again. I got a chance to clear some negative energy. I got to learn a little bit more about how other coaches are teaching these tools. And I got a review of why is this happening to me again. So the encouragement is just hold the space. Get a space where you and one or two or five or eight other people can meet, set the time, and just commit to being there and watch what happens. During that period, as Michelle was saying, she's got somebody who listens to the archive shows, or they listen to the videos that Dr. Michael Rice has recorded, and then just make available those worksheets that are free to print out off the internet and offer the space for people to do their work, even if it's just me sitting doing my work. Devoting that for me, it's a 6:30 to 9, so it's a 2.5-hour time slot, devoting that time for me to do what's most important for me, to learn more in depth about the tool of forgiveness and to actively apply it to myself is a gift to me. And when I'm blessed with other people who want to come and join me in that, it amplifies the energy exponentially. And if nobody else wants to do it, I just hold the space. I go and open up the building. I leave my doors open, and I welcome people to come. Or, like last night, I got messages from people who were unable to attend and some who thought it was too cold to go out. We had bitterly cold temperatures yesterday, and schools closed and things. And a couple people who said they were going to come who just didn't show up. And my knowing is they're right where they need to be, and they'll show up for the group experience when it's right for them to do that. And I know that I benefited by holding the space and doing what I did with those 2.5 hours last night. So it's not always about, you know, a successful group doesn't mean we had 40 people or we had 14. A successful group is even one person holding the space, being willing to explore the tools and actually apply them in their lives. So if that sparks any questions or comments from people, again, the number is 646-200-4169. Press 1 and that'll let you pop up on our switchboard. And one of the things I was listening to recently, I have to give a talk at the Unity in Rockford on Sunday. And in preparation for it, I'm listening to a variety of different talks from my favorite teachers in the Way of Mastery and Guy Finley. And I was reminded of something Guy Finley talks about in one of his series. He says, mental and emotional pain is not your enemy. It's not my enemy. Fear of it prevents me from seeing that this is true. If I turn and run from something because I have decided that it is dangerous or hurtful, and I run and I run and I run, I run for 20 minutes through the woods or down the streets, and at the end of 20 minutes I stop running in my exhaustion and I look around and I'm safe, I have reached the conclusion that it was a really good thing that I ran and that it was running that saved my life. And now, whatever it was that I ran from has been recorded in my personal experience as something that was dangerous and potentially life-threatening, and that the only way to survive it is to run if it ever comes up again. And this is true even if the thing I was running from was not a threat to me at all. The actuality of the event has nothing to do with the conclusion I formulate and then build into my belief system. And it's the conclusions I formulate and build into my belief system which literally drive my behavior. So, for example, I might have, out of the corner of my eye, caught sight of movement when I'm out in the forest, and I might say, oh my gosh, that's a bear, and take off running for 20 minutes, reach the conclusion that I have survived only because I ran. Now, not only am I willing to run anytime I think I see a bear, but I'm going to avoid that part of the forest where I saw that bear. And now, day after day, as I avoid going to that part of that forest, I prove to myself, because I have survived, and I add to my energy and my belief system the conclusion that I need to stay away from that part of the forest in order to survive, when in actuality, there may have never been a bear there. It might have been a deer. It might have been a fallen tree that wasn't there the last time. that I walked through that looked like a shape out of the corner of my eye that I wasn't familiar with. The actuality in life is that life is a safe place to be, and that, as I mentioned earlier, there is nothing of any value that can be taken from me as a spiritual being having a physical experience, and there is nothing of any value that can be added unto me. And so when I have an emotional or mental pain and I avoid what I think is causing it and I run from it, it prevents me from learning the lesson. It prevents me from a wise application of the alarm. It prevents me from seeing what the true cause of the pain is. And I condemn myself then to living from that negative energy and to asking that negative energy what to do to survive, or what to do to get out of the fear, or what to do to get out of the pain. And the key here is fear will never tell me what to do to get rid of fear. Fear will always tell me what to do, what action to take in the moment, what to say to another person, what to do to another person, how to run away, so that fear will run my life another day. You know, if I walk into a cave, and I'm out in the wilderness and I'm seeking shelter, and I walk into a cave and there's a hungry bear in the cave, a hungry, angry grizzly bear in the cave, and I say to the bear, "Oh, I'm sorry, this is a mistake, I shouldn't be here. Can you tell me where the exit is?" The bear isn't going to point me toward the exit. The bear's going to say, "No, come on in for dinner." And you're the dinner. I'm the dinner. The same thing with fear. If I have a fearful thought and I get a sense of resistance of the event and the fear builds in me and I start to think in the realm of thought, which, by the way, is the same thing that created my fear, and I start to think, "Oh, geez, what's the answer to this?" I'm asking the part of my mind that's fearful how to get rid of the fear. It will never tell me how to get rid of the fear. It will tell me to do things and act in a way that are against my best interest and the best interests of those around me, so that the part of my mind that holds the fear gets to run my mind another day. If I let that build into a momentum, it can become so strong, as it has for most of the people in our culture, that it prevents me from seeing that emotional pain is not my enemy, it's my alarm system directing me to the fact that there's a problem inside me. And I need to apply good emotional mental hygiene. I need to apply the forgiveness process. I need to apply a journaling with mind shifters. I need to apply deep breaths. I need to apply holding the space of love for myself and others. I need to apply the skill of becoming calm and quiet so I can hear the still small voice that has been planted in me by God to break off the effects of my errors in thought and guide me to truth and happiness if I simply ask it to. And this part of my mind, this latent neural structure, as Michael refers to it, is not in my logical conscious mind. It is not something I can see or feel directly. I can see the effects of it if I slow down. I can see the effects of it if I surrender to it. And we should review that again, because often in this culture when we say the word surrender, people say, "I don't want to surrender, I want to conquer. I want to go out and do. I want to set a goal and achieve it, and set and achieve and set and achieve." This whole thing of surrender, I don't want to hear from surrender. And the fact of the matter is, in my life, I am always either surrendering to love or fear. I am not the source of my life. I did not create myself. I don't know how to keep my heart pumping. I don't know how to digest my food. I don't really know how my body does what it does when I make the decision I want to get up out of my chair and move across the room. It happens without me knowing anything about the nerves that have to fire, the muscles in their sequence, the counterweights balancing, the blood flow supply to the muscles. It all just happens. And it happens from a higher intelligence than I have the ability to even comprehend with my conscious logical mind. And so if I can get my conscious logical mind to slow down, take a break, sit in the jumper seat for a while, and just ask to be shown, that still small voice, that elemental force specific to humans, that thing that the Greeks interpreted as the Holy Spirit, that process within me will speak to me, will allow me to reconnect with my true nature as love, which in that moment, if I'm connecting my conscious awareness to my true nature as love, it eradicates fear. And from that space, asking that source for direction, I can be shown actions which will benefit me and everyone around me. And it's a choice in each moment. What am I going to choose to focus on? Somebody called or got in the hot seat with Abraham Hicks and said, you know, this is too simplistic. You don't understand. There were 6 million Jews in a genocide. There was the Rwandan genocide. There was all the horrors that were done to the American Indians. And none of these people could have gotten out of that. And that's real, and I have to pay attention to that. And we have wars going on right now in Syria. And Abraham listened and was very respectful and then said, this is true. You've thought this out. You're a very good observer of what's actually happening. These things are real. They have happened at that physical level. And yet, that's not all that's going on. Now, I'm paraphrasing here. This isn't exactly what Abraham said. But the way I talk about this to people is, yes, bad things, horrible things, painful things, deaths of people who were innocent, people getting ripped off thousands of dollars, they happen. But at the same time that's happening, flowers are blooming, the earth is spinning, your breath is coming to you without your needing to focus on it. Love is happening around the globe. What are you going to choose on to focus on? What you choose to focus on is going to create your experience of reality. Please join us again on Monday and all next week. Bring your questions, your comments. And in the meantime, you're strongly encouraged to check out these tools and make this the best year yet of your eternal life.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.